And now our resident Vatican expert Joan Lewis is here to take a look back at Pope Benedict's activities over the past 7 days. Joan, good to have you back with us again. You've actually been on a pilgrimage, haven't you, over the past few days?
Stupendous. Absolutely wonderful with my American parish in Rome and members of Santa Susanna Parish and of Marymount School. We went to Turkey in the footsteps of St. Paul, and I want to tell you, in recent days, I've just kind of gotten lost in the biblical readings, the letters of St. Paul, not only to the various places in Turkey, but obviously Corinth, modern-day Greece, and to the Romans, where, of course, we live and so forth. And the Holy Father kind of brought me back to that.
On the Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, Ash Wednesday, of course, the Pope went, as usual, to Santa Sabina on the Aventine Hill for the traditional liturgy with the laying on of ashes. And he spoke, as you said, about St. Paul, didn't he?
He did. And, of course, that followed the procession from Sant'Anselmo to the rather small, by Roman standards, if you will, the rather small but lovely and historical church of Santa Sabina. He himself received ashes, the Pope did, from Cardinal Tomko. And then the Pope himself gave ashes to a small number of people were there. And he does give a homily and really focused it all around St. Paul. And he said, began with, following the example of St. Paul, Lent should be marked by a more frequent listening to the Word of God, by more intense prayer, by an austere and penitential lifestyle. And also, he encourages us to conversion and sincere love for our brothers. And the Pope really quoted from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, "We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." And he also quoted St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And he really did focus on St. Paul's approach to the three things we associate with Lent, and that is to say prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. And it was very interesting. He says that St. Paul, of course, about prayer, he urges perseverance and being watchful in it with thanksgiving and to pray without ceasing. As for almsgiving, the pages, that's to say of St. Paul, dedicated to the collection on behalf of the poor brethren are certainly important. And it must be emphasized that for Paul, charity is the summit of the life of the believer, the bond of perfection. And then lastly, the Pope talked about fasting, and it was interesting. He said, Paul does not speak of fasting specifically, using that word, but he often urges sobriety as a characteristic of those who are called to live in wonderful expectation of the Lord. And I have to tell you, Paul's words just take on an entire new meaning when you do follow in his footsteps. When you are traveling as we did in 1 week, we had everything but a heat wave. We had a couple of glorious days of sunshine, cool weather, not freezing cold. Then we had rain and we had snow. We had depths of snow. We had blizzards. You wouldn't possibly believe it. But what this did was kind of create a frame, if you will, for these readings and these trials, journeys, tribulations of St. Paul, because, you know, we could go to our hotel room at night and be warm. And we also had warm shoes or boots or Nikes or whatever people wore. And he just had sandals. And how did they even manage to keep warm?
So it really brings it alive in a very special way, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
When you follow this kind of pilgrimage.
What he went through to tell people about the person whom he never met but loved. And that was Jesus Christ at the center, obviously, of our faith.
After this moment of conversion, which, as you say, the Pope was talking about there in that homily
exactly.
In Santa Sabina.
Yes.
He also sent a message on Ash Wednesday, didn't he, to the Brazilian bishops for their Lenten campaign.
Exactly. The church in Brazil has an annual campaign called the Fraternity Campaign. The theme of the campaign this year, it has a different theme every year, was Peace is the Fruit of Justice. And in this message, the Pope said, Lent calls us to an unfailing and unstoppable struggle to do good. And he said, precisely because we know how difficult it is for us as human beings to dedicate ourselves to the practice of justice. And then he said what I thought were very powerful words. He said, our Lord abhors injustice and condemns those who practice it. Yet he respects individual liberty. I think this is important. He respects individual liberty and for this allows it, that is to say, injustice and so forth, he allows it to exist because it forms part of the human condition after original sin. Those are words that could be said two or three times to sink into our minds, because how many times do people say, why does God allow something? More or less, it is, why does man, because of his free will, do something contrary to the natural law, to God's law, and so forth.
If we move on quickly, during this past week, there's been a very significant appointment for the American church, hasn't there? And a particularly significant one for you, too.
Oh, exactly. Archbishop Timothy Dolan, I guess we can say formerly of Milwaukee, was named Monday as Archbishop of New York, an appointment people had been waiting for. It was about 2 years ago that Cardinal Egan presented, at the age of 75, as one must, presented his resignation to the Holy Father. And the Holy Father, I think it was wonderful. Of course, he left him there for his visit last April of 2008 to the United States. But I've known Archbishop Dolan for many, many years when he was Monsignor Dolan here at the North American College.
The rector of the North American College. Having a regular visit to our Vatican radio studios. He used to do a program for us as well called Think of It This Way. So we had him a regular, one of your forerunners, in fact.
Sure, exactly. He's just one stupendous human being. He's a big bear of a man who loves life, who does everything with enthusiasm, whether it's for the church, whether it's for you personally as a friend, whether it's coming to these studios and recording a show. And he loves the priesthood, and all you have to do is listen to him or read some of his books about the priesthood. And he loves the church and the Holy Father. His entire life is obedience to the church, to the magisterium, and to the Holy Father. And he said, I think it was just when he was in New York recently, in an interview, he said that it's this obedience to the magisterium and obedience to the Holy Father that makes him totally free, that makes his life as a priest very, very easy, because that, of course, is your guideline. But he's just an amazing human being. I hope very much to be able to go to his installation. But, you know, it'll be the biggest event.
April is the month, isn't it? Just
April
after
15th.
Easter, he'll be installed officially as the new archbishop there in New York.
It'll be the biggest thing for the church in America after the Pope's visit, to be honest with you.
It'll be a big event, that's for sure.
It will. We're delighted. I really empathize with Milwaukee at their loss. That's all I can say, because a great man is leaving Milwaukee and the same great man's going to New York. So God bless you, Monsignor Dolan.
Moving just a few days earlier back to the weekend, we had an ordinary public consistory here in the Vatican with the announcement of 10 forthcoming canonizations, again, including some very important names, particularly Damien, say, Blessed Damien de Verster. And he, again, particularly close to your heart, isn't he?
He is indeed, because I went last summer on kind of a lark, a last-minute decision. I was in California, and I went to Hawaii. I met Bishop Silva, who was in Rome, Bishop Larry Silva of Honolulu. He was in Rome for this consistory and here for about 4 or 5 days. And I traveled, spent one entire day traveling from Honolulu. I mean, that's like a 20-minute trip. And then spent the day on Molokai, the island whose peninsula of Kalaupapa, Blessed Damien, then, of course, Father Damien, worked on for so many years, 13 years, with lepers. And he got there. He was a missionary priest of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary. And he was from Belgium, I think we said that. And when he was sent to the island, his superiors he was on Oahu for 10 years before he was sent to Molokai. And, of course, this was in the 1800s. Hawaii did not become a state until 1959. So this year, by the way, marks the 50th anniversary of Hawaiian statehood and the 120th anniversary of Father Damien's death. But when he was sent, it was supposed to be for a period of 3 months so that, you know, he'd be living in these very hardship conditions. And he saw that there was like this total lack of human dignity, the way these people were treated, because leprosy was seen as a totally contagious disease. These people were confined to this island, made to live there.
Totally outcast from the rest
of
society.
Oh, total outcast. And if they didn't see their family again, well, that's too bad. But at the end of 3 months, when he was supposed to be replaced, Blessed Damien said to his superior, he said, "Don't send somebody else. what we need. He said, send me blankets. And he gave a whole bunch of supplies.
And his ministry there really changed, didn't it, for good, the way in which these lepers were treated and the way they were seen by the rest of society.
Exactly.
So again, this canonization is going to be a very important
event. In October, on October 11th.
So we'll be looking forward to that later in the year. For the moment,
exciting.
Thank you very much for joining us on the program.
God bless you.
And Joan will be back again at this same time next week. Be sure to join us then if you can.